Welcome, everybody, to part three of our Idle Champions podcast adventure. You can find part one on the Dungeon Drunks channel, and you can find part two on the Taking Initiative channel.
All of the horror these and others have faced is in fault to no one but them. It's not the dreamer that's to blame for following its nature. Personally, I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Distinguished adventurers, welcome to a very special Idle Podcasts crossover event of the podcasting century. I am Lauren Urban. You might know me as Obo Crazy. I am usually the dungeon master for the podcast Dungeon Drunks, but today I am very honored and pleased to be the DM for some special guests. And I'm going to ask them to introduce themselves now. As listeners to any of our podcasts, you might be familiar with some of us, but let's just go around the table. As I said, I am Lauren. I'm usually the DM for Dungeon Drunks. I go by she, her. And Josh, why don't you go next?
Hello, my name is Josh Perot. I am usually, but up until recently, the DM of Taking Initiative. I am also the person behind the podcast of events for Wizards of the Coast. I am also he, him, and that's what I do.
And who are you playing as today?
Oh, I will be playing as Morgan Amberhall, Monk Locke. He's just kind of one of those people who read something he shouldn't have read, and now his life has changed, and he hasn't figured out if it's for good or bad yet, but he's still trucking along.
Excellent. Joe, why don't you introduce yourself next?
Hi, everybody. My name is Joe Trier. I am the writer, DM, and producer for How We Roll Podcasts. We are a horror podcast playing a lot of Curse of Strahd and Call of Cthulhu. My preferred pronouns are he, him. And tonight I'll be playing Soldar Sovarovich, an escapee from Barovia who has made it out of the mists all the way to the Forgotten Realms.
I love it. So those of you who are listening are probably familiar with the three of us podcasters, but we have two incredibly special guests. Kat, why don't you introduce yourself?
Hi, I'm Kat. I'm one of the artists on Idle Champions of the Forgotten Realms, which is a D&D game that I'll let my other partner guest explain more about. Pronouns are she, her, and I'm going to be playing Hemlock, a Circle of Spores Eladrin druid, who is they, them. So, yeah.
Excellent. And to round out the cast, the person who's going to talk a little more about Idle Champions, Chris.
Yeah.
Who are you and who are you playing as?
Hi, I'm Chris Dupuy. I'm the live services manager here at Codename Entertainment for Idle Champions. I'm going to be playing one of our Idle Champions. I'm going to be playing Stokey, a gnome monk of the Open Hands. So while I normally use the pronouns he, him, I'll be using she, her today, playing as Stokey. But I don't have nearly the vocal talent as our friends here, so I won't be doing an accent.
That's just fine. Listen, every group does something a little different. You do what makes you comfy.
There you go.
We're just super pleased to have you. So obviously the three of us podcasts are huge fans of Idle Champions. We usually have gold chess codes in our games. And for a while now, we've wanted to all get together and do something fun together. And so let's play, shall we?
Sounds like fun.
All right. Are you headed back inside the tavern? Is that where everybody's going?
Yep.
I guess so.
All right. The peaceful pour is as you left it. In fact, it's as you first arrived. The gnome is back at the bar, has their own drink. The four other nobles are still around the table, raucous and loud. The piano player is still going. What would you like to do? Do you want to do anything in specific, or is this just over the next hour I'm going to?
I have a specific idea, but I'm curious to see what my companions are going to do first.
I'm going to grab a beer. I'm going to sit close, but not like encroaching on the space to where the nobles are to start getting an ear for what's going on conversationally. And I'm going to look to whoever's not around and just telepathically send what the conversation is going with to help formulate ideas of how to tackle the situation.
Sure. How about the rest of you?
I will also get a beer and I'm going to kind of lean against the bar and start kind of looking the noble up and down and looking very disdainfully at his tiny rapier and quite obviously disdainfully and trying to kind of convey that to him.
Okay.
If he doesn't notice, I'm going to start making comments under my breath and get sort of louder and louder.
Sure. How about Stokey and Hemlock? What are the two of you doing?
I think I will also get a thick swampy drink and stand over with Soldar to sort of be the sounding board if he wants to talk shit on this rapier.
I like it. And Stokey?
I'm going to get up on the table.
Okay.
Good start. Good start. Yeah.
So here's what I'll say, just to give everybody a chance. So, Hemlock and Soldar are over in the corner, or close by, making disparaging comments. I'm going to see whether the noble gent notices. And with a natural one in his perception check, because he's intoxicated, it's very obvious he doesn't notice anything that you are saying. He hasn't paid any attention to you as you come on in. You're saying these things. You start saying them a little bit louder, and he couldn't care less. Within a few moments, Morgan, what you notice is him and his friends are having a slurred conversation about how piss poor the quality of the alcohol has been ever since they've arrived. That, hey, we must be getting down to the dregs of what's here. I'm really quite disappointed. And I guess we're going to have to go back to the city at some point. Maybe not right now. But we'll see what happens. And it's more of that. It's more of them drunkenly enjoying being superior. And, oh, it's going to be so much better when we get back to the city. We can have real beer again. And then Stokey jumps up on the table.
I'll pick up a cup and I'll say, "Barkeep, a round of Stokey's pale ale for the tavern."
There's this very long pause. As everyone looks at you. And then roll a persuasion check.
Nine?
The gnome you had been talking to gives you a curious look, raises their glass and goes, "Yee!" Unenthusiastically, but trying to help. The barkeep goes, "All right, sure." And with that, that seems to be just enough that everybody goes, "Hey!" And there's cheering and, "Oh, that's so quaint that you're going to have enough money to buy for the rest of us. Thank you." And you're told how wonderful you are by the crew of fops around you.
I look around the bar frantically and I start counting heads and I'm like feeling my coin pouch and like counting in my head. And I'm like, "Barkeep, you have Stokey's pale ale, right?"
I've got something that's close enough to that. Well, I got a pale ale. I don't know if I've got a Stokey."
And he's pulling out glasses and he's pouring what looks like a relatively nice wheat ale. Meanwhile, the nobleman whose table you've jumped on top of says, "Oh, I haven't heard of that one. Where is that from?"
That's my own personal brew. I keep it up in my cabin by the woods. I thought they hadn't had a delivery in a while, though. They must still have some. Let me try some, barkeep.
I don't have this Stokey thing you're talking about. I got this other stuff," and he's pouring this.
Hemlock slams their now empty tankard on the beer on the bar and just goes, "Only Stokeys will suffice."
Yeah.
I haven't even had any of this. Is this some kind of moonshine of yours? You're making it in your cabin. That's so quaint.
It is only the best pale ale in the country.
I sit next to Oswald, and I go, "Well, I will say that whatever else you're drinking is shit, probably, right? Stokey's Pale Ale, not shit. Fact."
Yeah, I'll reach down to Oswald's cup and pick it up and then take a big swig and I'll look at him and my face will go sour and I'll just open my mouth and let it pour out.
Roll a performance check with advantage.
16.
He looks horrified at you for a moment, and then he starts to giggle, and then Oswald gives you this kind of cross-eyed drunken look and says, "You know, my friends and I were just talking about how disgusting most of this, the alcohol here is, but it's been nice to experiment. You say you've got something better?"
I wouldn't even call this alcohol, and I will emphatically toss the tankard, no matter what's still in it, just behind me, because it's just awful. Come with me. Come to my cabin. I've got pints of Stokey Pale Ale, and who needs to drink this swill? Barkeep, what I said earlier, no. This is awful beer, and I will not have any of it.
The rest of you notice that this guy has been pouring these drinks, and he kind of gives a long look, and then
this better be worth it.
And he just starts putting the glasses away. Meanwhile, Oswald gives Stokey a look and says, "Why don't you be a dear and go bring us a keg or two? We're having fun here, right?" And he looks over at his three companions, who are obviously like 13 sheets to the wind. They've already gotten very intoxicated. One of them says, "I'll go get," and he falls over off of his chair unconscious.
Well, he's not going to make the trip. Come on, it'll be more fun if we all go together.
I've already ridden into town once today. I'll pay you if you will go bring me some.
Do you think I want any of your dirty coin? No, I want a drinking buddy.
It's very clean. I'm from the city, don't you know?
I'm going to telepathically talk to the barkeeper and go, "I'm so sorry. I'm trying to take care of your problem. Can you just like scream out that you won't accept that ale in this bar? Please, we'll take care of your douche nozzle problem here."
Fortunately, this barkeep has been telepathically talked to before, because I just rolled to see how freaked out he was. And so there's this wide-eyed moment, because it's been a while, and then in his head, he does respond with,
"What's in it for me?
You get these guys out of here and you can enjoy your night."
And then the next thing is he says out loud, he says, "I'm not gonna let you bring in some outside swill into my bar. If you want to go drink that, you go to that cabin in the woods. Off you go."
Thanks.
And the Lord says, "Oh, commoners are such a bore. All right, fine. How far away is this?" And he stands and he weaves a little bit. His other two friends, who are still seated and still conscious, they start to stand up too, and they kind of lean against each other. And he looks over at all of you and says, "Well, how far is it?"
"It's just down the road. Let's go."
"All right, the Foster, saddle my horse."
And the gnome, who had been sitting over against the bar, Foster, looks over at him and says,
"I don't think you should ride in your condition, my lord."
And he goes, "My condition is none of your concern."
"Oh, wait, it is your concern. All right, fine. We'll go for a nice little walk."
And he stumbles outside. The two people that are with him, I'd love everyone to make insight checks.
Sure. I'm also going to flick a gold to the bartender when they're not looking and just be like, "Got ya."
He catches it and gives you a nod. Did anyone roll over a 15?
19.
22.
Ooh.
I got a 13.
Okay. Those of you who rolled over... Oh, sorry.
I got a 5.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I thought the both of you got over a 20. Okay. So the two of you who got over the 15, you notice that these two still conscious members of his retinue, they are not going to make it out the door. The gnome wasn't lying. This lord seems to have a slightly stronger constitution than his friends, and you would be surprised if they can make it out the door. Meanwhile, the lord stumbles out the door, goes to his horse and says, "Oh, all right, fine, Foster, you tell them to lead on and I will follow and I will walk because I'm apparently not allowed to ride while feeling good anymore."
Yeah, you don't want to get a ride while intoxicated. It's a bad thing to be put on your record.
I'm going to go up and block the path of the two that are trying to make it out the door and sort of...
Hey!
Try and sway in a weird way and just, like, make myself look ethereal, like a hallucination, and take off my mask, and being a autumn Eladrin, Hemlock's eyes are, like, a full, like, orbs of copper, essentially, and being Circle of Spores, they're all moldy, so they look really gross, and I'm just gonna look at them and be like, "It's time to go to bed."
I don't know if this would be... So are you trying to scare them? Are you trying to persuade them? Or are you
I guess it would be scaring.
All right, go and roll an intimidation check. I'll give you advantage.
Oh, good. Because
that would be a little intimidating.
Okay. 14.
All right. One of them faints.
Good.
Poof. The guy goes face first onto the ground. The woman kind of goes, "Ooh, oh dear," and then turns around and then walks back to the table and sits down and collapses.
Excellent. I put my mask back on and follow the hoity-toity.
All right.
Well done. That was really good.
Thank you.
So all of you follow, it is Foster who is essentially leading you, the gnome, but he's doing a fairly good job of making it seem like Stokey is the one leading, because you've got some basic directions. So he, every once in a while, he just comes up and says, "Just a little bit more to the left." And eventually you do come across what looks like a very nice cabin. It's just off the main road. It looks like it's in very nice condition. It's a bright sunny day this afternoon. Looks like a little maybe two-room cabin. And from behind you, Stokey, you hear the gnome, Foster, say under his breath, "Yep, that's the place. That's right there. Door should be open."
During the journey, could I have continued the sort of barrage of insults about his weapon? That's not even a real weapon. Like, I mean, look at it. It's as thin as my little pinky. I bet you couldn't hurt a single thing with that.
Are you trying to insult him, or are you trying to be, like, playful with him?
I'm trying to, like, make him defend his weapon, as it were, so that when a threat emerges, he's going to try and prove that it's really a weapon.
Okay, roll a persuasion check.
So that's a 15 plus 5, so 20.
He starts thinking that you're playing with him. He's like, "You just don't know what someone can do with such a fine weapon. I'll show you at some point when I'm not so busy doing all the things." And like, as the insults go on, as you keep walking, it takes a good couple minutes. You know, it's like 10-15 minutes of very slow walking to get to this cabin. Your jabs get to him a little bit more, and you can tell that he's continuing to keep up this jovial facade, and the drunkenness is helping, but eventually he's just like, "Listen, peasant, I don't need to be told what to do with my rapier. I know what I'm doing. Leave me alone. Foster, tell this impudent fool to..." Oh, we're at the cabin!
Yep, here we are, inside casks and casks and casks of Stokey's Pale Ale. Let's go inside. Here, Lord, follow me. And I'll go and reach for the door handle.
It's unlocked. You all just right? Go right on in.
I open the door and I am looking for everything. I'm looking for little bugs. I'm looking for big bugs. I'm looking for bug webs. I'm Excellent. Praying they're not waiting for me to kill me.
You walk on in, and the front of this cabin seems to be one large room. You can see a door off, way off to the left that probably leads to the second room, probably the bedroom. The first thing you notice is how weirdly empty it is. There's no appliances, there's no furniture, there's nothing on the walls. This place looks like it was stripped to the hardwood. There is nothing in here, except for two creatures that you see, both huddled around what looks like this weird conglomeration of an oven with these weird metal bits sticking out of it, and a pie. And around this thing that looks like an oven with the metal and the pie, you see these two, obviously the automatons that the gnome was talking about. One of them, both of them are large. They'd be medium creatures, but they are, for a metal construct, they're both about the size of some of your more human companions. One of them is on tracks, on these wheels, and it has this big, almost dragonborn type mouth, maw on the front of it, and these weird pincer type arms that you can see are coming out to gingerly rotate the pie. The other one is looks like a centipede, this long, multi-armed, multi-legged thing, also with a pincer-type mouth that actually looks like the bugs that you had encountered, the little tiny bugs, except this looks like Big Daddy version, well, with a long, segmented body and some more pincers as it seems to be messing with this machinery that has been cobbled together in the middle of this room. And you can very faintly see that from this weird machine with the pie on top of it, the little tiny bugs are coming out. And there's like a line of them like ants leading out to a hole in the wall. Both these machines turn to look at you, and you hear this strange mechanical whine, like this. And you have enough time to hear the gnome behind you go, "Oh, crap, they've set off the alarm." And we can all roll initiative.
Yay.
So, Oswald, pull out your knitting needle. So show us what you can do.
Well done. Well done. We're starting out strong.
Okay. Stokey, what'd you roll?
That'd be a 5.
And Hemlock?
Also 5.
And Morgan?
13.
And Soldar?
15.
Okay. Oswald rolled a 9, and all right. Well, Soldar is going to be going first. Let me get everybody in order here. It's going to be Soldar, Morgan, Oswald. The gnome is going to abstain. I don't have any weapons for this fight. These things should be very easy, he tells you. They should be nothing. And I think Stokey probably has a... Actually, who...
No, Hemlock's got a better dex.
Yeah.
Ooh. All right. Hemlock and Stokey. The monk is going last. Well, there you go. All right. Soldar, you get to go first.
I've just looked at my character sheet and realized that I have a rapier.
Well, it's up to you whether you want to pull the rapier out or... And he pulls out the rapier. Exact same
This
rapier.
Is the rapier. So all the insults I've been giving all along, and what I've actually been doing is giving him bardic inspiration. So he can add a d8 to his attack roll, saving throw, ability check.
Well done.
Which is pretty cool.
That will be helpful.
I am going to pull out my rapier, but I'm going to hold my action. So I'm not going to attack. I'm going to give Oswald the chance to kind of move forward. But what I am going to do... No, that's it. I'm going to hold off for a moment. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to give him the chance.
All right.
So but show us what you've got. Let's see.
All right. Morgan, you're up next.
You hear Morgan go, Oh, man. This is awful. Who would have guessed it? And then I just kind of have finger guns out, like kind of pointing at both of them. And I'm also going to hold my action for Eldritch Blast. You go, I don't know what we're going to do with all this nonsense. I'm not trying to do a very good facade, but I seem surprised. And that's it.
Okay. All right. It is Oswald's turn. He briefly looks stunned. He then looks scared. He then hears Soldar's, hey, show me what you got. And he pulls out his rapier and he struts up to the one with the dragonborn type face. And pulls out his rapier and drunkenly attacks. So with disadvantage, but he will use his bardic inspiration.
Natural one.
I'm
going
to whisper to myself. Shit, we should have sobered him up first.
He takes the rapier and stabs towards this creature and is still about a good inch or two away. It's a true strike. It would have hit the thing. It'd just been like a foot closer. As I ended up with a six. Pulls the rapier back, and you can now see, especially Soldar, but all of you can notice this. I'll say Soldar, especially since you have a rapier and you know what the form is. This guy has been taking fencing lessons, not fighting lessons. And he gets into a drunken approximation of a fencing maneuver, and he says, "Have at thee!" That's going to be the end of his turn.
I'm going to release the action now and just shoot off the Eldritch Blast as I just go, so one against
all
each.
Right. One against each of them, sure. So against the dragon-faced one?
The one against the dragon-faced one will be a 19 to hit.
That'll
and
hit.
And the second one is a natural 20.
Well, that will definitely hit. Go ahead and do the first one, the damage for the first one.
First one is 9.
Okay.
Second one is 4.
Four total, even a natural 20?
I rolled two.
So the way I like to do natural 20s is you're going to do your max damage, and then you roll the dice one extra time.
So make that a 12.
That is an actual. All
Thank
right.
you.
These two... Sorry?
Go on. I was just going to say, could I use my hold action to cast Fairy Fire, and when it kind of bursts into blue-green flames, turn to the Lord and say... That's incredible. I didn't know you had a magic knitting needle. I mean, sorry, rapier.
All right. I'll say, yeah, that for your hold action, you can definitely do that. So these two Eldritch Blasts go off. One of them slams into the centipede-type creature, and you see bits of metal go flying off of this thing and kink, kink, kink onto the ground. The fairy fire comes out. What's the save they need to make for the fairy fire?
Fairy Fire. Dex, 15.
Okay. The centipede type one fails miserably. The dragonborn face one fails miserably. Both of them are fairy fired. That gives people advantage on attacks against them?
It does, yep.
Excellent. All right. Those held actions go off. It is the dragonborn faced one. It is unhappy. Or actually, sorry. Oh, no, I'll roll that later. Okay. Yeah. Okay. It is going to... You hear it ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching as these large metal bolts get, like, slotted into its mouth. And two of them go off. One is going after Oswald. The other is going after Morgan. So the one that goes after Oswald is going to hit. The one that goes after Morgan... Is a 19 hit your AC?
It does, but I'm going to use deflect missiles. If able.
Oh yeah, because you're... So this is the monk deflect missiles, yes. Right? Okay, so I need to roll damage first. For a second I'm like, okay. It's going to be 17 damage, 17 piercing damage.
Okay.
So go ahead and roll your deflect to see how much you...
I rolled a 1, so 1 plus 3 is 4, so I take 13 damage.
Okay. And sadly, you do not catch it. I am sorry.
Nope, I captured it in my chest.
Okay. Yeah, those two bolts go out and it hurts. Oswald takes one of these in the side and you hear him yelp in pain, but he continues to stand there. Then it is the centipede's turn.
Is this where we get Oswald killed?
We'll see. We'll see what's about to happen.
Everything's fine.
It scuttles forward to be kind of between everybody. I need everyone, including Oswald, to make a dexterity saving throw. And I'll make for Oswald. A two for Oswald.
Oops. I rolled a natural one.
Oh! Zoldar! Actually, I'll get to that in a second. Stokey?
What did I roll? 12.
I don't know. Okay.
And Hemlock?
11.
And Morgan?
17.
Okay, Morgan, you're the only one who saves against this. So you'll take half damage. So everybody is going to take 10 lightning damage.
Oof. Ouch.
And so I got to know, Soldar, how do you fail miserably to avoid any of this lightning damage with a natural one?
Soldar's not really paying attention. Like he's pretty proud of the idea that he's managed to kind of persuade that the noble is, you know, made the magic and is really actually good at what he's doing, when Soldar knows fully well that he doesn't. So he's actually kind of half turned his back to the centipede, and he's just sort of patting himself on the back, as it were, and turns around and just takes it full in the face and is kind of blasted backwards.
Oh yeah, it's bad. You get blasted into the door, you get some splinters in your back, it's nasty.
And I'm bloodied, I'm down to half hit points. 17 out of 33.
Me too, bud.
Oswald is on his knees. Oswald is looking super rough. Fortunately, it is now Hemlock's turn.
That is quite fortunate. Okay, seeing everybody getting messed up real fast, just sort of sigh heavily, and I'm going to cast Healing Spirit.
Kat, you should describe your Healing Spirit.
For Hemlock, it looks like essentially a giant mushroom that's like ethereal and sort of pink and blue, translucent, and it's in the middle of the people it's cast around, and it's got a very thin, tall stem and then the like bell cap. And it's one of those mushrooms that has the like the curtain that comes down that's like hexagonal and sort of covers the entire area of where it's healing people, but you can like see out of it.
That's super cool.
Thank y'all. It's a 5-foot cube, so get as many of my allies as I can in that, I guess. So that's like 4 squares on a grid if anybody's next to each other.
I'll say most of you are next to each other except for Oswald, who's the one that's moved into melee with the dragon-faced one. Mm-hmm. So you could get all of your... You could get all of your friends. You could get... I guess Stokey would have gone in first. So you can get all your friends, or you can just get Stokey and Oswald.
Because he seems like kind of an idiot, I guess I'll get Oswald and sort of have it nearby my friends.
Okay.
Cause
so Stokey and Oswald are going to be in it to begin with. Sure. And what does that do?
That will... give them 1d6 hit points. Yeah. So 3.
He gets off his knee. Oswald looks super hurt, but he manages to stand back up again. He doesn't look nearly as drunk anymore now that he's in mortal danger.
Okay. And more importantly, it sticks around for up to a minute. If anybody goes into its space, you will also get a d6 of hit points on my turn.
So. Excellent. Anything else?
Yeah, that's just a bonus action spell. So as my main action, I'm going to activate Symbiotic Entity. So use my wild shape to activate the spores within me. So basically there's like a sort of a cloud of spores that just seems to get more obvious around Hemlock, and like there's some bits between the leafy cloak that like little mushrooms sprout out and stuff like that. Yeah, that gives me stuff.
You guys, stuff, you made her go full fungus.
All right. Anything else? Would you like to stay where you are? Do you want to move? Would you like to do any of the fun things with your spores that you can?
I will go up next to Oswald. The spore thing is a little weird because it's like it uses the reaction, so it's not technically on my turn.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So you move up next to Oswald, who is Errol Flynn, if Errol Flynn was freaked out and scared.
If you're checking these podcasts out during the first couple of weeks of release, our current event in Idle Champions is the Festival of Fools. We bring back Strix from Dice Camera Action, and we introduce Rosie from the C-Team. So log into Idle Champions now and collect your champions.
And it is Stokey's turn.
Okay. I'm going to take this opportunity, now that everyone has acted, to act shocked. Oh, no, I've been robbed. All of my pale ales.
Okay.
I'm going to run up to the Dragonborn one.
Okay.
And use my extra attack and use a key point for Flurry of Blows.
Sure.
So all sorts of punching and kicking action. I've got a 25, a 17, a 21, and a 10.
The 10 misses, the other three connect solidly.
Right. So then... Sorry, I forgot what my damage die was. Okay.
Douche, douche, douche.
13 damage.
Nice.
And then, I hit a creature with one of my Flurry of Blows, so I'm going to use the open hand technique. It needs to make a dexterity 13 saving throw or be knocked prone.
All right. Rolled a dirty 20. This thing is squat, and it looks like it's pretty stable. And so it's not that it really dodges as much as you think that it would be very hard to knock this thing over, but... You try. You do pound into it. More pieces go flying off of it. And it's starting to make this grinding noise that you don't think is a good thing for it.
Quick, my lord. We need more help.
All right. Anything else?
That's it.
All right. We're back to the top of Soldar.
Okay. So Soldar's going to cast Bardic Inspiration on the lord again.
Okay.
You're almost there. Use that magic weapon again. Get him. And then I'm going to cast Heat Metal as a third level spell on the least damaged one.
That would be the centipede looking one.
That would be, yeah. So that's 3d8 ongoing. No save.
Yeah, well, that doesn't surprise me considering these things are mostly made of metal, so it'd be very hard to avoid. All right.
So that's a 6. Another 6. And a 5, so 17 points of damage.
Oof. Well, now it's the more hurt one, that's for sure. Yeah, it starts to glow red as you cast Heat Metal onto it, and you can all feel this thing just emanating like an oven.
This could end badly.
Anything else?
No, that's my go over.
All right, Morgan, it's your turn.
Okay. I look at... How hurt do these two look?
Both of them are looking beat up a little, like they've taken some hits. They seem to still be standing there. I mean, it's hard to tell with a construct, but they certainly don't look like they're about to fall over anytime soon.
Okay. I'm going to look at the dragonborn looking one with my two fingers out, and I kind of look at it in a weird way, and my eyes shift over to a very purpley black haze as I cast Hex on that one.
Ooh.
As a bonus action, I'm going to choose Strength as the ability on that one.
Okay.
And then I'm going to release two Eldritch Blasts again, One to each.
Sure.
The one with the dragonborn face is definitely going to hit with a, I think it's like 23.
Yep.
And then the other one is like 21.
Yep, they both hit.
Cool. So the dragonborn one gets the extra d6 from hex damage. It's going to be... 11 damage.
Okay.
And then the centipede one takes 6 damage.
All right.
And I believe that's all I can do.
All right. Yeah, as your bolts fire off and more parts get thrown off of these things, the grinding increases. But they are still able to attack. And so the dragonborn one...
Very quickly, may I say that I back up and kind of do the two guns against the wall on the opposite side of the entrance, just so they can't see me.
Okay. All right. So you back up outside the wall, but you're... So all of you are kind of by the door, except for Stokey and Oswald, who are next to this dragonborn-faced one, which turns as though it was... And you hear it, like, loading another one of these bolts into the big maw of his. Ka-chunk, ka-chunk, ka-chunk. And it looks like it was aiming towards where Morgan was going. And as Morgan dips around the back of the wall, it launches this fiery, explosive bolt, which lands next to all of you except Stokey and Oswald.
I actually went up next to Oswald at the end of my turn.
You're right. So it's going to land... basically just next to Soldar and Morgan, because everybody within 20 feet of it explodes in fire. I need you both to make dexterity saving throws, please. Okay.
It's 19.
Oh, that's not good. that is plus 3, 11.
Okay. The 19 succeeds, so you'll take half damage. Okay, so 12 fire damage to Soldar, 6 to Morgan.
Cool, I'm down to 9. I cast Hellish Rebuke as a reaction.
Okay, do you have to be next to it in order to do that?
One reaction within 60 feet, which you take in response to being damaged by a creature within 60 feet of you, you can see. So sure. I need you to make a dexterity saving throw, please.
that would be a 6.
A 6. No, that fails.
That's not going to do it.
That's 14 fire damage.
Ah. You're going to fight fire with fire. Yeah, so this fiery bolt explodes, sending flames into both of your faces. And as it clears, you cast your Hellish Rebuke. And then this thing is set on fire. And now there's fire. And fire is fun.
Himalk is upset.
That's its turn. The centipede one is going to crawl on up to Stokey and is going to try to bite Stokey.
Uh-oh.
that's going to be a 17 versus AC?
Yeah, apparently I'm good biting today.
Nom, nom, nom. that is you and you. You take 6 piercing damage and 4 lightning damage.
Thanks for the heals. These giant pincers
come along and clamp into your side and send a little jolt of energy through them. And they are done.
Foster, Oswald, you're really fired.
Oswald is going to go. Oswald is, fortunately, he is inspired, because otherwise he was going to try to run. So he will try to stab the bolter again.
Ooh.
He's actually going to hit. This is exciting. He finds a place in where the armor has been blasted off by your attacks and sticks it on in there, and you see this black goop start to ooze out. He's obviously caught a pretty good line in there. And the automaton actually lurches a little bit as he does that. It looks like this thing is close to being destroyed, and it is Hemlock's turn.
Just before it's my turn, I want to use my reaction to do Halo Spores damage as Oswald attacks it to make it look like it does even more damage to it.
Sure.
So that's a Constitution saving throw.
Constitution.
DC 15.
Oh, he rolled a 7. Nope.
Cool. well, 4. 4 necrotic damage.
Okay. How do you make this look like it's like this necrotic damage is Oswald's doing?
Well, when he pierces into that chunk between the armor and like black goo comes out, I just make that black goo look even worse. Like it's sort of got that weird, not quite aura, but like smoky necrotic essence coming from it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And this actually makes Oswald looks pleased with himself. Oh, and now it is your actual turn.
Yes. Hang on a second. Okay. As a bonus action, I'm going to move my healing spirit back to Morgan and Soldar. Can I get both of them with it? Or are they far apart?
Nope, you can get both of them.
Okay.
Thank you.
So, it's basically the people who are in melee and the people who are back by the door at this point.
Yeah. So you both get 4 healing.
That's good.
And
back up to 12.
As my main action, I will just slice at it with my scimitar.
Sure.
And it's a natural 20.
Woo! Hey! Yay! So it's max damage plus 1 extra damage die.
Okay. I also get poison damage from symbiotic entity. So would I max damage that and add a die for that also?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So that's
everything.
Gonna be...
Everything. All the things.
16 and then 22 altogether.
Wow. How, nice.
How do you destroy this creature?
Ah! Is this the dragonborn looking one?
The dragonborn looking one.
I want to get into that weakness in the armor that Oswald uncovered and slice right through and up it. And as I slice through, it just becomes infected with mushrooms and spores and fungus, and get all the way through it if I can to like essentially chop it in half. And
oh, yeah.
Things start growing out of it. Reclaim it to nature.
And Oswald gives it this look like, oh, ooh, mushrooms. Oh, my. But yeah, you slice this thing in half.
Awesome.
Awesome. Stokey, there's the one thing left.
I will take a moment to look back to Oswald, and I'll say, wow, you were really built for this life, weren't you? And I'll jump over to the centipede-looking one.
It's right there. This is the one that's been nomming on your side.
So. Oh, yeah, that's right. All right. Well,
you don't have to go very far.
Jump on top of it.
Turn and punch it in the face. That's Ooh. A crit.
Ooh. So many natural 20s this game.
My extra attack is 22.
That hits.
So for the crit.
Yep. That's max damage plus another one of your die.
12 damage.
Okay.
And the non-crit is 6 damage. And then, if it's not already dead...
It's looking super hurt, but it's not quite stopped moving.
I will immediately Flurry of Blows it. Use another key point.
Flurry away.
That's an 18.
That hits. Just barely, but it does.
And not a hit. Not great. 5.
No. Oh, with 5 damage?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
No, you don't get to do
you...
damage.
Pooh, right into its side. You actually yank off some of its armor, throw another fist in there, come back with some of this black goop, and it go to hit it one more time, and it just kind of skids off. But this thing is writhing as it is super hurt, and we're back to the top, and it's Soldar's turn.
Okay, so I guess it takes its the heat metal damage again. So
oh, yeah.
3d8.
Just curious, is heat metal... also concentration?
It is, yeah.
Oh, then I would have needed you to make a concentration check.
Ah.
With that damage. Also, fairy fire is concentration too.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, let's see what happens. Roll your concentration check.
So that's a 16 plus So it's con, yeah, isn't it? So 12. 17 for my concentration. All right.
So here's what I'm going to say. You succeed on your concentration check. I will let you pick one of the two spells. I'm guessing you're going to want to pick the heat metal to keep.
Yeah, because the fairy fire is dissipated from the other one anyway, because he's dead.
He's... Fair enough. Yeah. I like this. All right, but you were able to keep up the heat metal. Thank you.
Okay, so 7, 3, and 5, so that's a 15 points of damage.
So as you concentrate to keep this heat metal up, even through the fire that's hitting your own face, how do you destroy this creature?
So I kind of go to pull out my rapier and then look over and see that the intensity of the heat metal is building up and building up, and I point towards it and go, look, noble, you've almost destroyed it. The power of your magic rapier is intense. And you can see the kind of creature bubbling and burning as the metal begins to turn to slag, and it drops the ground and sort of gears and cogs pour everywhere out of inside of it.
I didn't even know. This is exciting. So yeah, these two creatures are destroyed. The gnome pokes his head in, and for the briefest of moments, you can see there's a little bit of upset on his face, and then he rushes forward and he goes over to the box, this metal oven-like box in the middle with the pie on top of it, picks up the pie, holds the pie out, and says, "Here, someone take this."
I'll grab the pie carefully.
You now have a lemon meringue pie. The gnome starts to dig into this box, pulling off pieces, kind of what look like randomly, and eventually thrusts his hand down into the box and pulls out what looks like this mass of metal sparking. And he says, "That was the problem. We've got that fixed. All of the bugs should be deactivated now." And you look around and you can see the little tiny bugs that you had noticed that were like in an ant line leading away. All of them have stopped. And Oswald, who is oblivious to much of this, but drunkenly staring at his rapier as though he's the best thing in the world, is like, "That was so much fun, but where's the beer?"
At this point in time, Morgan has kind of given himself a little pep talk. He saw the gnome with a look of upsetness and run inside. Morgan takes out his two clubs, breathing, stretches his shoulders, and rushes into the room and stops. And puts the clubs away. Goes, "All right. Good job, Oswald. You did great, man. Look at this. Wonderful. You did it. Great.
I did, didn't I? And I sure did it all completely plastered."
Yep. And as I swing my hand up and I start walking out of the place, and I'm just going to put my leg up on the outside. And
quick, right. Morgan's got a plan.
And with that, I think we'll pause. We'll stop there, because I think that's the best place. As you have saved the town, you have helped a lordling maybe convince himself that he is not just for drunken revelry, and you have stopped the bug infestation, especially of the crows that are flying upside down in the town.
Didn't find the vampires, though.
There were no vampires. I'm
They're
so sorry.
Out there, man. We'll find them. Someday.
Yeah. You did find a lot of things that wanted to bite you, though. I mean, there was that.
Yeah. Much chewing.
All the chewing. All right. Well, this has been fantastic. I'd like to take a moment. So before we go, let's go around and tell the people where we can find you, what you're doing, and tell us all about the things you are currently doing. Let's go with Joe first.
Brilliant. Okay, so as I said before, I'm Joe Trier. I'm one of the writers and one of the DMs for How We Roll podcast. We are currently playing through the Pulp Cthulhu campaign, The Two-Headed Serpent, with its writer, Scott Dorward. And we are about to start Season 3 of Curse of Strahd. And that's going to be broadcast live on our Twitch channel on the 24th of March at 8 PM GMT. So that'll be midday Pacific time, if I'm writing saying. And you can find us at howwerollpodcast.com, and you can also find me at HWRpodcast on Twitter.
Excellent. Josh?
I'm Josh Perot. I was the DM for Taking Initiative. I will now be a player with a Storm King's Thunder campaign, but what we just finished was a Curse of Strahd campaign. After 2 years, we are done. But now you can listen and binge the entirety of it if you'd like. We also do little side quests here and there of different adventures, such as Hackenstone's Gambit, where we feature some people from D&D as for Nerds, the Venture Maidens. We have some stuff with Lauren and the Dungeon Drunks as well in our Meanwhile series. So to find us, you can find us at @TI_pod on Twitter or on our website at, not at, that's not how websites work. You can find us on our website at takinginitiativepodcast.com. There you can find all the links to find all of us. Me particularly, you can find me on Twitter at @XyroxisTheBeard. That's at @XyroxisTheBeard.
Excellent. For our two lovely guests from Codename Entertainment, Kat, where can we find you?
I'm Catherine Crane. Generally just go by Kat. One of the artists on Idle Champions, but I also post a lot of my own personal art. And I go by TheArtMonkey, TheArtMonkey. Basically everywhere. I've got a Tumblr and a Twitter and an Instagram. I try and do comics. I did one semi-recently about mental health issues that I'm very proud of called Monsters and Knives. Yeah.
I love it. Chris.
I'm Chris Dupuy. You can find me on Twitter at GameGuruChris, and you can find Idle Champions at idlechampions.com. I was playing through this adventure as one of our champions, Stokey, a gnome monk that we introduced in the High Harvestide event a couple of years ago. Idle Champions, for those that don't know, is a strategy management game on PC, Xbox, PlayStation, iPads, and Android devices. It is very similar to this this podcast. It takes it takes champions from different different mediums, from the books from D&D, from the streams from D&D, from the lore of D&D, and throws them all together in lets you play through weird, quirky adventures. But the really cool part about it is that it's all about figuring out the right formation and the right characters to use based on their formation abilities. And it's a ton of fun. You should check it out. It's free to play on all those platforms. And we hope you enjoyed everything today. It was a ton of fun playing, Lauren. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
It was a ton of fun for me, too, to DM for all of you. I'm Lauren Urban. You might know me as Oboe Crazy. I am the community manager for D&D Beyond. But in this case, more importantly, I am the DM for Dungeon Drunks, one of the three podcasts that on a very regular basis gives out free gold chests, thanks to Idle Champions. You can find Dungeon Drunks online at Dungeon Drunks, and you can subscribe to our podcast just like these other two fine podcasts. You can find me as Oboe Crazy wherever fine Oboe Crazies are sold. And until the next time that we have this marvelous crossover, I will say thank you very much. This was so much fun, and goodbye.